This morning I want to share with you some thoughts on a really well-known passage. Passage from Luke about the encounter between Jesus and Zacchaeus. And I want to just share with you how that impacts my idea of mission and how we go about mission. In this passage, we have Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. I'm not going to read the passage because I'm going to just give you an outline to it as I go through. So Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. As he's traveling, he goes through towns and cities, and he comes to a place called Jericho, a bustling city, a city well known to Jesus. He's been there before. Part of his story has happened in the area around Jericho. Jericho has a checkered past. When you read about the city of Jericho, it's been cursed. Joshua cursed it. When the walls came down, he said, "Cursed is the man who rebuilds this city." Jericho has a checkered past. But the wall was built again, and Jericho stood as a thriving, prosperous city. But the wealth of Jericho was limited to a small middle-class population. The rest of Jericho was in poverty. People looking for a better future, but people struggling for hope. If you read on in chapter 19, as Jesus continues on his journey to Jerusalem, you get this idea that the people of that area were really looking for somebody to answer their problems. They had hope, but they weren't really sure what to put it in. As Jesus came to Jericho, his reputation preceded him. It wasn't that people were out shouting, "He's coming, he's coming, he's coming." People knew that he was coming. A crowd was gathering with excitement that the teacher was coming, Jesus was coming. What would he do? What would he say? Hope was rising. Maybe those that had been looking for something to put their hope in were thinking, maybe this is what we can put our hope in. Maybe he is the one that will solve our problems. If you can imagine that hustle and bustle of Jesus arriving in the city, if you can imagine the people crowding around, if you can imagine the families maybe coming out to see, imagine the children pushing to the front to see Jesus as he comes through. It's amongst all of that hustle and bustle that Luke introduces us to this character, Zacchaeus. Now, as we know, Zacchaeus is a Jew. Amongst the crowd, normally, under normal circumstances, he would have been part of them. But Zacchaeus is a bit of an exception to the rule because he was a tax collector. He worked for the Roman Empire, and he didn't even just do what he should have done. He did much more. He took more money than he should have done. And we get that idea as we get to the end of that passage that is describing this encounter. That he says, if I have done something wrong, if I have taken more money than I should have done, then I will give much more back in return. The crowd would have looked at Zacchaeus with disdain. They wouldn't have wanted him to be part of them. They would have wanted him to be on the edges. So Zacchaeus climbs the tree. Now it describes in the passage that Zacchaeus climbed so he could see what was going on. But I also wonder whether Zacchaeus climbed up that tree to be away from people as well. Imagine this guy that nobody really likes is amongst the crowd. He's going to want to hide somewhere. So he climbs up this fig sycamore tree. Hides away in the branches and waits to see Jesus coming. Zacchaeus is obviously intrigued by Jesus. He wants to be there. There's something going on. Whether he likes the idea of Jesus or whether he doesn't like the idea of Jesus, he wants to know what is happening. And then we have this moment when Jesus stops. The hustle and bustle going on, and Jesus stops. Looks up into the tree and calls Zacchaeus down. For a moment, Zacchaeus had been hidden in the tree, and then suddenly he's the focus of attention. Now, I don't know about you, but I was watching the tennis on Wednesday when Roger Federer was playing Marcus Willis. And the moment when they stepped out onto center court to see Marcus Willis, ranked 772 in the world, to step out onto center court with the guy that he'd probably been idolizing, that expression on his face was, I wish I had a camera to have taken that moment, because there was such a moment of excitement. This guy's hero was with him, and the crowd, 15,000 people, were watching him. And for that moment, he was associated with Roger Federer. In my opinion, the best tennis player ever. They walk out together. There's an association between them. Now, I don't know whether that was Zacchaeus' expression when Jesus called him down from the tree. Was it, this guy, I'm associated with Jesus? Or was it, no, I want to climb up this tree higher. I don't want anybody to know that I'm being associated with him. I don't know. But all eyes were on Zacchaeus. All eyes were on Jesus. When Jesus called Zacchaeus down, all the boundaries were crossed. The divides were crossed. The bridge was built. Jesus crossed the bridge, took Zacchaeus' hand, and said, I want to spend time with you. Now, back 2,000 years ago, when you invite yourself to somebody's house, you are accepting them. It wasn't just like, oh, I'm coming to yours tomorrow. It was far more significant. Jesus was saying, I accept you as you are. I accept you, and I want to spend time with you. I was thinking about this, that when Jesus sat down for a meal with Zacchaeus, it wasn't going to be like maybe one of our afternoon teas where we sit round and we've got the mobile phone on the table and we're waiting for the next message, or the television's going on in the background, or there's music playing, or there's people coming and going. That encounter, that meal they had together, was an intense moment. They sat round a low table, probably the sun was shining, sheltering from the sun, but they would have spoken, and it would have been deep conversation. And we know what happened. Zacchaeus gets up, and there is transformation, and he publicly declares what has happened to him. There are some ideas from this that I want to just talk about now, and just talk about them and how they relate to my thoughts on mission. Jesus' reputation. The first thing, he had a reputation. People knew about him. It preceded him. People wanted to know him. They wanted to connect with him. They wanted to know more about him. Some would have feared him. Some would have loved him. But he had a reputation. What he stood for was known. People weren't guessing whether this guy was a good guy or a bad guy. They didn't quite know how it would all play out, but they knew who he was. Jesus took the initiative. He didn't wait for Zacchaeus to come down the tree and tap him on the shoulder. Jesus took the initiative. He said to Zacchaeus, come down. Jesus wasn't afraid of doing things in public. He didn't wait till everybody had gone on, until the crowd had got bored of waiting for him. Amongst the hustle and bustle, knowing that what he was doing was going to offend some people and cause questions, Jesus called Zacchaeus down. Jesus wanted to invest time in Zacchaeus. He didn't just say, Zacchaeus, you're not a great guy. You really need to change what you're doing. You need to think more seriously about what you're doing. Be changed. No, Jesus wanted to spend time with him. He wanted to go and eat with him. And that wouldn't have been a short encounter. They would have sat and talked. And there was an intent. From that moment when Jesus walked into Jericho, from that moment that that bridge was crossed, Jesus knew what he was doing in that encounter with Zacchaeus. So now, questions. God's mission being worked out in us. The moment when we accepted God into our lives, the moment when the Creator of heaven and earth beckoned us to join him, we became instruments for his purposes, to partner with him in the restoration, the transformation of all creation. As I think about mission, as I reflect upon what I'm called to do, these are questions that I have to think through. Are we distinct enough that others see something different in us and they want to know more? Are we the kind of people that take the initiative, or do we wait for other people to build those bridges, to build those connections? Are we confident to publicly stand up for what we believe? To stand up even when others look down upon us for doing that? Are we ready to invest time in that bridge building? Are we ready to invest time in those people that maybe naturally we wouldn't get along with? Do we trust in what we're doing? Do we trust that God will equip us? As I think about these questions and how they impact me, my family, our work in Albania, it does really challenge me. But it excites me and inspires me. Because I have to believe that God has called us, the Gregory family, to Albania for this time. In January this year, we embarked on a bridge building project. Almost literally, actually. We set up a local NGO called Tekora. I'm not going to tell you what that means yet, unless anybody speaks Albanian here. Does anyone speak Albanian? No, I'm safe. Okay. 2 years of being in Albania, exploring relationships, trying to learn language, trying to find out what is God calling us to do here. After 2 years of working on those relationships, it became clear to us what God wanted us to do. And that was to set up this organization. For 2 years, we'd found it hard to build relationships with different organizations that were there. For 2 years, we found constant obstacles in building bridges because who were we there? We're just individuals. BMS is not a registered organization in Albania. We're just individuals. And people would say, well, who are you? And what do you want? And we continued to hit the brick wall. So we felt right to start this organization. Tekora means at the bridge. The hope of the organization is to build bridges between communities, to connect people with possibilities. At its very heart, what we're trying to do is reach those that are the most vulnerable, the most marginalized in Tirana, in the capital city. As it is, those are the Roma and the Egyptian communities. People groups that are right at the bottom of the pile. Roma and Egyptian are some of the most marginalized, most vulnerable groups in the country, suffering from racism, systemic abuse. The majority of the population, which estimates were around 200,000, live below the poverty line, with many living on less than £1.50 a day. Illiteracy is considerably higher than the national average, and the majority of Roma and Egyptian people are employed in informal work, collecting rubbish, recycling it. The gap between white Albanians and the Roma and the Egyptians is very significant. This is just a photograph of one of the communities that we've been working with very closely. And these are people's homes. This is one of my favorite photographs because this is all about what Tekora is trying to achieve. This is in our center, the place that we're working from at the moment. And as I said, Takura is all about that bridge. It's about bridging people with possibilities, bridging people with new relationships. And here we have this lady here. She's possibly one of the most difficult ladies I have ever met. I really, really find it very difficult to engage with her. She's very, very self-centered. Everything is about her and what she can get. And then this lady here, she's our landlady. She is an Albanian. This lady is Roma. These two wouldn't normally sit together. Our landlady is a remarkable lady. She isn't a Christian. But God gives her an ability that she doesn't even know she has to cross and build bridges. And this is two people sitting as we were celebrating Ladies' Day earlier in the year. And bridges are being built there, even though those two people don't know it. There is a sense of hope that is being fostered between those two people. This lady is beginning to think, maybe I have value. Maybe I have something to give. This lady here is thinking, maybe this lady has something to give. And maybe I have the ability to encourage her in that. Over the past 4 months, Suzanne and I and Dan and Annie Dupree, who also work with BMS, have had the opportunity to share meals, celebrate festivals like Ladies' Day, Children's Day, Roma events. We've had chance to sit round and have barbecues. We've had chance to engage people in one-to-one and in big groups. We've run craft activities with the children, building relationships. I've had the opportunity to sit and drink the infamous raki, which is an extremely strong drink. But all of that has been about building relationship with the community, about crossing those bridges. For many of these people, for many of these children, they live in an isolated bubble where the rest of the world looks at them with disdain. And back to us here. As you support us, the Gregory family, as you support other BMS people, as you support other organizations that are working overseas, you're part of that mission. You're part of reaching those people. You're part of that bridge building, crossing that gap between those that have something to offer and those that feel weak. That could be here. That could be overseas. But you're part of it. Us being here today, being encouraged by you, encourages us to go on. In the 10 days or so that we've been back from Albania, I've been stunned by the gaps that have seemed to have opened amongst communities. Communities that seemed before connected. I was talking with friends recently about how things felt around the time of the millennium and all of that sense of community. And even just before the Olympics, people were having parties in the streets. For the past 10 days, it seems like there's old wounds that are being opened and there are gaps between communities. Now is the time for the church to start building those bridges again, to start accepting, to start offering a hand of love, to be saying there's something we can give. A week ago, I sat and watched a lady on television who was being interviewed, and she just sat and cried in front of the camera and said, "What have I done? I was born here. What have I done?" A lot of what I've been doing over the past 2 years has been concentrating on life in Albania, and the communities that God has called us into. But there's such a huge need for people to be building bridges, to be extending the hand of love, to be welcoming people unconditionally, even within our own communities. After the service, we'll be sharing a little bit more about what God is doing in us in Albania and what God is doing through us. Please do continue to hold us in your prayers. Things are still new for us there. I wish I was fluent in Albanian. I'm far from being fluent. I wish I understood culture completely. I really don't. We would really value your prayers as we build bridges, as we build relationships, as we share the love of Christ with those that have never heard or experienced that love before.